starting the first parak of Derech Hashem, I know I sent out an email telling you that we're going to have a shiur on what you can and cannot know about God. And that's 100% true. You're actually technically in a weekly chabura on Derech Hashem. But when we come to the chapter on God, it's the first chapter of the book. And additionally, I feel very strongly about doing chapter one as one shiur, even though it's a little bit longer, because it's about God, and I think that dividing God into two is probably hashkafically problematic, as we will learn. So this is a self-contained shiur, where we are going to directly address what we can and cannot know about God from beginning to end. But for those of you who find it exciting and interesting and want to know further, which I hope will be many of you, we'll be continuing to learn Derech Hashem at 12:30 every single week on Thursdays. And we'll go into really exciting topics like what man's purpose in this world is and what are angels and all kinds of stuff in between. It's an amazing sefer. It's a foundational sefer. In fact, the way that the Ramchal breaks up the sefer of Derech Hashem, he breaks up into four parts, and what we're learning is actually the beginning of the first part, and the first part is entitled Al Yisodot HaMitziut. This part of the book is the foundations of all of reality. So, assumably it's pretty important stuff to know. And there's perhaps nothing more essential to know than God, which makes sense. For those who were here for the last year, we read through the introduction. The Ramchal talked about the importance of organized and structured knowledge, and particularly the knowledge of klalim, of general principles. But it's not just the knowledge of general principles that's important, understanding them inherently, but understanding the interrelationship between those klalim, between those general principles, that there are, that each klal is the foundation and sets up and is the premise for the next klal, which is the foundation and the premise for the next klal, that they build into one another in a process of what he refers to as hishtal shalut. They're like links in a chain. Each one is incredibly important, and each one stems and moves from the other. And if we're talking about the foundations of all of reality, what's at the top, to stretch the analogy, of the food chain? What stands at the top of that? What is the ultimate source of all things? God. And that's why it has to be so that the first chapter, the first klal that the Ramchal is going to discuss in his sefer is going to be the topic of God. And that, of course, is then going to be the premise, the foundation for everything else we're going to learn. Everything in reality has to come from that source, that foundation, that primary klal. And as again, as also we said in the introduction, every single word in this sefer counts. And so we'll do our best, even though we're going to move a little bit faster than we're normally going to move, because I want to get through all of Perek Aleph. In one shiur, we're going to go a little bit quicker than I would like, but I think it's more important to learn about God in one shiur than to slow it down and break it up. So let's take a look carefully, already in the first Se'if, focusing on every single word of Bavarei Barach Shemo, Perek Rishon. Says the Ramchal, Kol ish mi Yisrael tzarich shiyamin v'yeda shiyish sham matzui Rishon kadmon v'nitzchi v'hu shehimtzi umamtzi kol ma shenimtza b'mitziut v'hu ha'eloka baruchu. Kol ish mi Yisrael. Every single person in Kali Yisrael, first of all, and this is the premise of most of the Ramchal Sefarim, and why he wrote so prolifically and why he was so passionate about what he was writing about, he wrote things that he deeply believes every single Jew must know. These things are not optional. You see that from the word tzarich. He doesn't use the word lightly. Kol ish Mishrael tzarich. The pirush that I have in my particular edition, I read through them, and some of them I find more powerful than others. I find that they relate to me more than others. But a very beautiful pirush by Rav Efrati. He points out here that the word tzarich here actually is the strongest possible word. That we might have thought that the Ramchal said chayav is obligated, that might have been stronger. He says no. And he gives a beautiful mashal in the fact that tzorech, a need, precedes a chiyuv, an obligation. The example he gives is like, let's say you have somebody who's sick. And they can't eat. They can't stomach food. And you force them to eat because if they don't eat, they're going to die. He says, which is it really? Are they obligated to eat or do they need to eat? Which one is it? They need to eat. And since they need to eat, therefore, we and they are obligated to make sure that they have some way of getting food. But the obligation actually stems from the need. That But that's how far back we are. Kol ish Mishrael tzarich. This is stuff that we need to know. Every single Jew. The word ish here, like in many times in Hebrew, I think is clearly meant to be both for masculine and feminine. Every Jew needs to know. He also points out here that it's specifically Jews. Because the essence of this Sefer is how the world is structured, spiritually and physically, and how God interacts with the world, how He guides that world, and how we are supposed to interact with the way that God guides the world. And while he points out here, based on other sources within the Ramchal himself, meaning keeping it self-contained within the Ramchal, that while non-Jews have the capacity to perfect themselves, and through that earn their own chilek and olam haba, only Jews have the capacity to spiritually fix the world. And so Jews have an obligation to know this book, because we need to know how reality exists, how God guides that reality, and how we relate to that, interact with that, to perfect the world with the world ourselves. And therefore, kol ish Mi'Israel, every single Jew, tzarich sheya'amin v'yeda. Two lishonot here. The Ramchal never has extraneous words. There's emunah and there's da'at. On the simplest level, and I don't think that it's doing either of these words justice, but for our purposes, that every Jew, whether they understand it or not, has to believe these things. These are fundamental to our faith. We need to believe these things. These are part of who we are as a Jewish people. Tzarich she'yamin. One of the things that I love about the Ramchal, which is what Judaism really holds of, though many don't teach Judaism this way, is that yes, it needs to start with emunah. Because we have to believe whether we understand or not. But what's the next word? Dat. V'yeda. Whether we understand or not, we have to believe it, but it's mutal, it's mechayev, it's an obligation, and perhaps it's tzorach, he says here, it's a tzorach on every Jew, not just to believe this, but after you believe this, to spend the time, which is this sefer, and the other svarim of the Ramchal, and other sefer Ashkafa. There's a chiyuv on us as Jews to not leave it at a stage of emunah, but to work as hard as we can to come to the greatest da'at, knowledge possible, of everything within the context of Judaism. The statement, we simply can't understand some things, those of you who know me and have been in my shiurim before, you've heard me say this before, if somebody says, no, that's something that you just can't know. Usually what that person means is, that's something I don't know and I don't understand, and therefore I assume that nobody can understand, so I'm going to tell you that you can't understand. The title of this shiur was, that I sent out, is what we can and cannot know about God. And so it's going to be mutal on me. I have to prove to you, if I say that there's something that we can't know about God, then I have to prove to you why we can't know that about God. If I can't tell you why we can't know it, then don't believe me. And honestly, if I tell you why we can't know it, do your own investigations and prove you wrong. But if I'm telling you we can't know something, it's on me to explain why is it that that's impossible to know. And if it's not impossible to know, it's a tzorech on us in these issues to start with a foundation of emunah, but it's a chiyuv on us to move it to a reality of da'at as well, to understand it, to make it a part of who we are. And there's nothing more fundamental than chelek aleph, perek rishon, seif aleph. This is literally the A's of the ABCs. What is it that kol yisrael tzarich she'yamin v'yeda? The existence of God. Sheyish sham matzoi rishon kadmon v'nitzchi. That there is an existence that is, we'll translate the words in a second, rishon, kadmon, and nitzchi. V'shehu himtzi umamtzi. That he created and continues to create kol mash nimsa b'mitzyut, everything that exists in reality. V'hu ha'eloka baruch hu, and that is God. So let's break that down. Sheisham matzoi rishon kadmon v'nitzchi. We have three words here that all sound similar. Can anybody hear the nuance of the difference? First, always, and always will be, what's happening here? What three words do we often use in Hebrew that might encapsulate those three terms? Excellent. Haya hoveh v'yeh. Rishon is, he is the cause of everything that is. That's going to be Hoveh. He is the source, the current source, Rishon. But he's also Kadmon. He goes eternally backwards. There was no time before God. God always existed. Nitzchi means eternal, and he always will exist. Haya, sorry, in this case, Hove, Haya, and Yihyeh. That there is a being who is eternal, always was, is, and will be, and that this eternal being, who Shehimtzi Umamtzi, what's the difference between Himtzi and Mamtzi? They're both active. Take a look at the words, think. What's the difference between Himtzi and Mamtzi? Say louder.
Brought out and will
bring out. Gotta tweak it a little bit, refine it a little bit sharper. Himtzi, he caused everything to exist. But it's not just that he caused everything to exist. Mamtzi means that he is currently continuously willing it to exist currently. He is the source of all things and continuously sustains all things. Rafati quotes a great mashal from Nefesh HaChaim here. And the mashal that the Nefesh HaChaim brings is that, let's say I wanted to go and build a house. So I would go and chop down the wood, take the wood and use it to build the house. And then, if I'm done with the house and I decide to move somewhere else, I'll leave the house behind and I forget about it. So I am the cause of that house. I built the house. However, I didn't will the wood into existence. I took that which pre-existed and took it from trees, made it into wood, and then made it into walls of the house. And when I leave the house behind and forget about it, does the house still exist? Not a trick question. Yes, just want to see if anybody's awake. Right? When you leave your house behind, it's still there. That's why you come back, it's still there. Okay. Right? By God, it's the opposite, because we are nothing like God in any, by any stretch of the imagination. God, when he creates, he is the ultimate source of all things, Yesh Me'ayin. He created everything from nothing. He didn't use that which was there and transform it into something else. He was the Himtzi. He is the ultimate source of all things. And he continuously wills it to be. If God, quote-unquote, forgets about something, or stops actively willing it into existence, it ceases to be. He would never do such a thing, but Lauren, if he stopped actively willing you into existence, you'd be gone. The end. The good news is I actually listened to the shiur when I gave this a few years ago, and the same person was in the room both times, and she was still there after I gave her, using the example once, and I used the example twice. So you're in good, there's a good shot you'll still be here. But God continuously has to will everything into existence. That's the point. Unlike us, where we use previously existing materials to build, and then when we forget about it, it still sustains, God is the ultimate, the original cause of all things, and continuously wills them into existence. Hu shehimtzi umamtzi, not some things, kol ma shenimtza b'metziut. Everything that exists in reality, God is the original cause. He willed it into existence, yesh me'ayin, something from nothing, and continues to actively sustain it. This being who is eternal, the ultimate cause of all things, who continuously wills all of those things into existence, that is God. And that's something which every Jew needs to believe and understand. Questions on Sa'if Aleph? Yeah.
You say needs to, I don't quite understand, because like a need is like, or else what? Like the need
we're,
is...
If a Jew is going, meaning we're here for a reason.
Yeah.
The Rachal says this, I think, more strongly in a lot of the openings of his other Sfarim. If there's no way for... There's no point in doing anything until you understand why you're here. If you want to live up to your existence, you need to know this. Or you will never live up to the whole reason why you're here in the first place. We need to know this because it's why we exist. And if not, we have no reason to be without knowing these things. Because we can't possibly fulfill our purpose in existence. That's how fundamental it is to who we are. Now things get wild. Ready? Here we go. Bet. Od tzarich sheyeda. We also must know not just emunah, but also with da'at, shahamatsoi hazeh yitbarach shemo, that this existence, meaning God, ein amitat mitziuto museget lezulato klal. The truth of his existence cannot be grasped by anything else at all. There is no way to understand anything about the essence of God. Then he says, Virak Zenodabo, this is all we know about him, so to speak. Shehu Matsui Shalem, Bichul Mine Shlemut, that he is an existence who is perfect on all levels of perfection. Velonim Savo Chisaron Klal, and there is no lacking within him. One more time. We must know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the truth of his essence, of his existence, cannot be grasped by anything, and only this can we know, that he's perfect on all levels of perfection, and that there's no lacking within him. And this really hits to the heart of what the title was, which is what can we and can we not know about God? There's a long-standing, we're going to go out of the text for a little bit, and then we'll plug everything right back in. We're going to zoom out and then zoom back in. There was a long-standing machloket between the Chokrim and the Mekubalim, the intellectuals, if you want to call them. Not that they weren't intellectual, but I guess I don't know if that's a good English word for Chokrim. Between the intellectuals and the Kabbalists. Because in the systems of Kabbalah, we have something called the Midot, or the Sfirot. What is a Midah? What does it mean? An attribute. And we have the seven, simplify things, seven and not ten. There's lower seven, upper three. We'll deal with the lower seven. That there are seven midot of God. Seven attributes of God. Any of you familiar with the system? It's chesed, gvura, tiferet, netzach, hod, yisod, and malchut. Now, the problem with that was, according to the Mekubalim, is that what you've just done is go against this very first principle of the Ramchal, and you've defined God. God has an attribute of chesed. He is kind. God has an attribute of gevurah. He has strength. And the problem with that is that you're a kofar. And so the Chokrim wrote off the Mekubalim in the simplest of ways. There's a lot more behind it than that. It goes a lot deeper than that. We're simplifying things. Because if you say that God has attributes, you're limiting God. You're defining God's essence. You're a kofar, and there's nothing to talk to you about. And the Gemara was saying, no, yesh lanu bekabbalah, we have a Kabbalistic tradition that God has, that there are seven midot. And these are the seven midot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it went back and forth. And the Ramchal, to my understanding, was the individual or one of the individuals, but certainly an individual who broke this contradiction in one of his Sfarim, another one of his fantastic Sfarim. All of his Sfarim are amazing. And he said, no, you're both saying the same thing. When we talk about the midot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God's attributes, chas v'chalila lo aleinu, the Mekubalim were never saying that they were God's attributes in essence. What it means is that God created seven midot, and God uses those created midot to interact with and guide the world. So God will utilize his created midah of chesed to act with the world with chesed. God will use his created midah of gvura to act with the world with the midah of gvura. Meaning, when we experience God's chesed, when we say that sentence, hashkafically, what we hopefully mean, or we're kofrim ourselves, is that God is utilizing his created midah of chesed to interact with me right now. When I say that I'm feeling God's gvura, it means that I'm feeling God utilizing his created midah of gvura to interact with me in the world right now. Which comes back to our premise, which is that we can never, ever, everybody agrees, there's no machloket in Judaism on this. You can't know anything about God in essence. To say God is anything is kfira. To say God is good is kfira. Straight up, no questions asked, kfira. We say good is good, right? Good is a good thing. The answer is it doesn't matter. Because good is a box. And you can't put God in that box. We can't know God in essence. We can use Lashon B'nei Adam, I experience God's goodness. Or I can say, B'lashon b'nei adam, God is good if I understand the meaning of that is, I experience God acting to me with good, with tov. The only thing we can say about God is, God is. Anything beyond that, without understanding what you're saying, is kfir. God is. And so the Mikubalim and the Chokrim were never arguing. The Mikubalim didn't like the fact that there were smidot, because that could be confusing. You could think that God is an attribute of chesed. The Mikubalim understood, and was a premise of their own philosophical system and Kabbalistic system, is that these midot are created midot through which God guides his world. Because while we can't know of God's essence, we can feel his presence. We can never know of God's essence, but we can feel his presence. And we feel his presence through the midot. When he interacts with us through the midot. So I just violated my own rule. I said, don't believe anybody who tells you that you can't know something. And I said that it's absolutely impossible for you to understand God at all, in essence. So your question to me is,
how do we know that?
Thank you. How do you know that? Or say it stronger if it's not a question. Say, prove it. So let's do that. And it's honestly very simple. God is infinite. God is infinite. And we are finite. How do I know that we're finite? See my hand? Here's the beginning. Here's the end. Here's the beginning of my arm, the end of my arm. If there were a guy in the room, I'd tap him on the shoulder to show that he also has borders and boundaries. Right? The fact that we are physically limited is a manifestation of the fact that we are also emotionally have limitations, borders and boundaries. Psychologically, we have borders and boundaries. Emotionally, we have borders and boundaries. Spiritually, we have borders and boundaries. On every level of being, we are finite beings. God is infinite. He is Ein Sof. He has no end. And it is logically impossible for the finite to comprehend the infinite. We don't have the capacity. There is not the capacity within something limited to understand something that is limitless. We don't have the memory. We don't have the RAM. I don't know what the right technological computer term is. Somebody can correct me. What's the right term? Anybody know? Right, like I said, we don't have the memory. We don't have the RAM, right? We don't have the storage capacity. It's not within the capacity of the finite to understand the infinite. Because there's not the space within the finite to contain the infinite. That's why we cannot understand God in essence. Is that clear? Questions, thoughts, comments? Before we go on to the next step? I get very nervous about quiet crowds. I need positive encouragement. I at least need nods. Thumbs up is great. Excellent, thank you. Just something so I know where I'm like you're alive.
Yeah.
Good? We're clear? Because if we don't understand this, if we misunderstand what's being presented now, then we could end up being kofrim. So I'd like to do it well. Clear?
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. So that comes to the question of, okay, well then, what can we know? Can we know anything about God? Why don't we just close the book right now? Let's just do that, right? We just said, God is infinite, we're finite, we can't know anything. I don't care if there's the rest of a chapter. Nice knowing you. We got out super early, and we're done. Right? What's the point of the rest of the chapter? There's nothing else we can know. There's nothing we can know about God. And yet he's got a bunch of seifim here. So how can we know anything about God? Because again, we also talked about in the introductory shir, the Ramchal who wrote the Sefer is one of the greatest Mikubalim ever lived. But for that, we need to understand a little bit from the Kabbalistic perspective. What is Kabbalah? On this, again, also we're doing the simplest explanations of these things. What is Kabbalah? I don't want far out things. I don't want fancy things. No crazy stuff. What is Kabbalah? What does the word mean?
Transmission.
What?
Transmission.
Be more specific. Maze Kabbalah. Maze lekabel.
To receive.
Through a transmission. But to receive. Kabbalah, by definition, its very name means that which needs to be received, transmitted to, from an outside source. There are things that we could not have understood had we not received them from an outside source. That outside source being HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, through Nevuah, through Malachim, whatever the case may be. But it's us receiving that information from the outside. That's the premise of Kabbalah. It means to receive. And Kabbalah does tell us, quote unquote, who God is, so to speak, what he wants, so to speak. So how can it do that? Now the answer I'm going to give is the premise of this chapter and this Sefer. Because this whole chapter is the premise of the Sefer, because everything leads to the next thing. And what I'm about to see next, you're either going to find really disappointing or really empowering. I would challenge you to take the empowering approach. That's the approach that I have. Not because I have it, but I think that it's what creates meaning within Judaism, and I think that it is genuinely empowering. And this is based on the Masorah that I have from my Rebbeim, and also it exists in a different Sefer of the Ramchal, in a very beautifully written out in a footnote of Rabbi Friedlander, based on the Grub, based on the Arizal. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, so to speak, and every time I talk about God, I'm going to say so to speak because we can't understand God in essence. What God does, so to speak, is he realized, he understood, so to speak, that in order for us to do what we need to do in this world, we had to have some understanding of God and what God wants. But we can't, because we're not capable of that. There's no other infinite being, by definition. Even if God wanted to create an infinite being, that would be impossible. Why would that be impossible? On the very simple logical fact that it has a point of creation, and therefore a starting point, and therefore a gvul, and therefore it's not infinite. You can't create an infinite being. So for us to do what we need to do here, we need to know God, and we need to understand what he wants from us. But we can't. So what God did was as follows, is he took what God is and what he wants, and he repackaged it and gave it to us through Kabbalah in a different way. He repackaged it based on the limitations of our understanding and specifically for the purposes of us accomplishing what we need to accomplish in this world. The words that Rabbi Friedlander uses, I don't know if he's borrowing terminology from the Arizal or from the Gra there, is l'fi hasagatenu ulema'anenu. He tells us who he is and what he wants, l'fi hasagatenu, according to our finite limitations, according to our finite capacity, ulema'anenu, and for us, meaning with the explicit purpose of it being the way in which we need to understand it to do what we need to do in this world. Now, let's first take the disempowering approach. Would be to say, well, then I don't want to be in this shir. I'm not really learning the essence of things. That's a waste of my time. I would say that that's very jaded. That would be an unfortunate way to look at it. But it's true. You're right. We're not going to learn about God in essence. The empowering approach is to think about it as follows. And take this in. God cares about us so much. We are so critical to the essence of history. We're so critical to creation. That he, quote-unquote, went out of his way, which was far beneath him, to bother, to repackage, to, quote-unquote, spend the time and energy to repackage what it means to have an infinite creator, to understand him and what he wants from us. He took the time and effort that was beneath him to repackage it for us because we're so important. And he is giving us everything that we need to know about him and about why we're here and what he wants from us. For us. And that's incredibly empowering. Is it him in essence? Is it his ratzon in essence? No. Is it directly from God, b'kabbalah, exactly what he wants us to know based on our limitations and for us about him and what he wants? It's exactly that. That's incredibly empowering in my mind. And the framework as we go forward for being able to talk about who God is, which I'm not going to spend so much time on, we're definitely going to talk about what God wants. Ratzon Hashem, if he is infinite, his ratzon is infinite. His desires are infinite, his will is infinite, his wants are infinite. If we're really going to tackle deep questions like, why did God create the world? What is the purpose of man from God's perspective? The answer is we couldn't understand that, but the Kabbalah, we have those answers that God packaged for us based on our limitations and for the purpose of fulfilling our purpose in creation. And we're not going to always backtrack and then all of that is coming back every time we say that. This is where we're going to understand it, and then when we talk about it and say, oh, God wanted to create the world because it means based on our limitations and for us, but not in essence. Once again, I want to stop, and then we're going to go back to the text. Questions, thoughts, comments, lack of clarity until this point. Two of you picked up on the fact that I need cues. Great, thank you. Everybody clear? Anybody not clear? Anybody have questions? Okay. Like I want to say on the right, there are people in the room. Okay. So let's go back in. Let's go back into the text. Od sarich sheyeda. We have to know. Shahamatsoi hazeh. Yiparach shemo ein amitat mitziuto museget lizulato klal. The truth of his existence cannot be understood by anything outside of him. There is no other infinite being. Nothing else can understand God in essence. The amitat mitziuto, the truth of his essence, that can't be grasped by anything other than God. E.F. Shar, it's impossible. Virak Zenodabo, this is the only thing we know about him. Shumatsoi Shalem, Bichol Minei Shlemut, that he is perfect on all levels of perfection. Well, we just seem to have violated that. We just said that God is perfect. And we can't put God in a box, because that's taking the infinite and making it finite. So how are we defining perfection? Vilo Nimsabo Chisaron Klal, there is no lacking within him. The only thing that we can say about God is we can talk about God in the negative. We can cut away the negative space. God isn't ra. Did I put God in a box? No, I said that that's something which does not, it's not relevant to God. I haven't put a box around God by saying that. God is not. How do I define the fact? We know b'Kabbalah that God is shalem b'chol minei shlemut, and that's going to be an important premise of the Sefer. That God encompasses all aspects of perfection. But how do I understand that? How do I define that hashkafically appropriately? What it means is that, therefore, no lacking relates to God in any way. Is that clear? What's not clear?
You said we could say God is not something because that's not limiting.
Correct.
What was the second part? No lacking.
Meaning, how do we define God being perfect? That's a box. We can define God being perfect by saying there is no imperfection relating to God. We're cutting away the negative space. Yeah?
By cutting away negative space, aren't you limiting him? By saying he's not that, then he's stopping somewhere, then he's...
That gets into a more interesting hashkafic discussion of what is chisaron then? Is chisaron even real?
Right. So that it can't be if there's...
Right, so that's taking it already a step deeper. You're right. But we're not going to take it that far. But you're right. We have to live with realities of things like Ra. We live with the reality of Ra, but God is not Ra. So what that means in a deep way, as far as I understand it, and I could be wrong, this is my understanding of it, is that Ra is very real for us. But at the end of the day, it will be proven that Ra really isn't. And the reason why I say that more confidently than I would have otherwise is that we just went through Rosh Hashanah davening, and we said that at the end of days, what's going to happen? Kol harisha kula ka'ashan tichle. All evil at the end of days will disappear like a puff of smoke. It was all smoke and mirrors. Don't mistake that. For us, here in this world, Ra is very real. In the next world, to be revealed that that was all a farce. But for us, the experience of Ra is very real. That's my understanding. And he also talks about later in the Sefer, as we go on, he'll define how there can be Ra and what that means and how that works. And how it's distant from him and yet coming from him but not part of him. So then all of those things have to be understood in context. but it requires that complexity. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Let's keep going. We already said a lot of this, so it's going. We'll be able to move faster now because we have the background necessary. The Ramchal continues. V'ulam. However, dvarim eila yida'anum bekabbalah. This stuff we know, I think, again, for those who are in the introductory shir, at this point in his life he was being censored and couldn't really teach Kabbalah explicitly. When he says the word Kabbalah here, I think he's kind of nodding and winking and saying, Kabbalah. So he continues the sentence, but I think he means here legitimately Kabbalah. But he says, Ulam, these things, yida'anum bekabbalah, we know these things through Kabbalah, meaning a received tradition from ha'avot umin ha'nevi'im. From our forefathers and from our prophets, which is the same thing as saying Kabbalah. Nevuah is Kabbalah. V'hisigum kol Yisrael b'mamad har Sinai, and all of Israel grasped this reality of God to the greatest ability possible at Har Sinai. V'amdu al amitatam b'veirur, and they understood it in its truth and in clarity at Har Sinai. V'limdum livnehem dor achar dor, and they taught it to their children generation after generation, kayom azeh. The tradition that we're talking about now is a received tradition passed down from generation to generation from Har Sinai till today. Shekain tzivam Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom mipi ha-gvoraz. Moshe Rabbeinu commanded Bnei Yisrael in the beginning of Sefer Devarim. He warned them not to forget everything that they saw at Har Sinai, that is a tradition that must be passed down. Pentishkakat ha-dvarim ha-ele asher u'enecha. Lest you, meaning don't. Don't forget these things which your eyes saw at Har Sinai. And teach them. Make sure that they are known, da'at, to your children and your children's children. Omnam, says the Ramchal, and this is very beautiful, and we'll explain how it plays into everything we've said. Omnam, God gam mitzad ha-chakira ba-moftim ha-limudim yeyamtu kol ha-ininim ha-ile. So too, through a deep investigation, and through proofs, through demonstrable proofs, can we verify all of these things that we know from Kabbalah? V'yuchach ha'yotam kein mikoach ha'nimsa'ot u'masigehem asher anach rim be'inenu al pi chokma tateva. And they can be proven from the reality around us and from grasping it and understanding it, which we see with our eyes through the chokma of teva, through knowledge of nature, ha-handasa, physics, ha-tchuna, astronomy, ushar ha-chokmot, and the other areas of knowledge. Shemehem tilakachna hakdamot amitiyot, that from them we can take basic, true, basic principles, asher yivaleid mehem beirur ha-inanim amitim ha-ela, which from them will produce these truths that we know. Now here's the thing. We just said that in order to know the stuff we needed, in order to know this, these things, we need... How do we know anything that we know in these areas? Through what means? Kabbalah. Has to be received. And he just said in this paragraph that if we look deeply into nature, we can know these things as well. So which is it? Do we have to receive it from the outside, or can we learn it from astronomy and physics and nature and the world around us? So the key word in this paragraph is... At the beginning, Omnam gam mitzad ha-chakira b'moftim ha-limudim ye'amtu. We can verify them. Meaning, once we know the ultimate truth through Kabbalah, if it is truth, which it is, then if we look deeply enough into the physical world, it has to reflect that ultimate truth. So we can verify those truths once we know them through investigating the physical world, which is one of the most beautiful things you can do with you're in college, in your secular studies, is in the proper classes that are relevant to this, is you can deeply understand God's world, and you can verify and see come forth all of these truths within the physical world itself. Now, even though we could verify and prove all of the things that we're going to talk about, that we said and that we're going to say through these proofs, he says, "V'omnam lo na'aricha tabazeh." We're not going to elaborate on this now, because that's not the goal of Derech Hashem. Derech Hashem is not a book about how do you see that? How do you see this? How do you see that? Derech Hashem is a book of what? It is as concise a book as possible to understand what is. That's the goal of Derech Hashem. He's not dodging the question, he's saying focus on the goal of the book, which is I need to know what is. And this chapter is, I need to know what is God, based on the limitations of my understanding and for me. ela natsia hakdamot la'amitam unisader advim al buryam. But rather, we're going to set forth the basic principles in truth and organize these things clearly, kefi ha-masorat shebiyadenu, based on the tradition that we have, va'mifursam mecholumotenu, and as is publicly known in all of our nation. Okay? One is, God is. Right, he's the ultimate source. God is eternal and the source of all things. And two is, God is shalem and has no chisaron, but we can't understand him in essence because God cannot be grasped in essence. But once we know these things, we can verify them through our understanding of the physical world if we want to. We don't have to do that. But we can even verify those things through the physical world. Let's go further. Gimel. Od sarich sheyeda. We also must know. Continues to use these words of sarich and yeda. Gimel. Od sarich sheyeda. Shamatsoi barach shemo. Hinei metziyuto metziyut muchrach. She'i efshar heyadro klal. That this existence, which is God, his existence is imperative. It must be. He's a metziyut muchrach. His existence is imperative. There is no possibility of not having God. God isn't important because God must be. She'efshar heyadro klal. It's impossible for him to not be. His existence is imperative. That's Gimel. Dalet. Od sarich she'eda. She'mitziyuto yibarach shemo. That God's existence. Eino taloi bezulato klal. His existence is not dependent on anything else. If something ceases to exist, God doesn't cease to exist. There's nothing he's dependent on. There isn't a higher being that God is dependent upon. God is at the top. God is dependent on nothing. Ela me'atzmohu mukhrach ha-mitziyut. Again, he's intrinsically imperative. So he's intrinsically imperative. And not an independent. He is not dependent upon anything else. We've got only a little bit of time left. We're going to go through hey a little bit quickly. If hey seems confusing, I'm going to let you in on a secret. It's because it's really confusing. It's the Ramchal showing why it's impossible to really understand God, which we now understand why. So as we read through, keep that in mind, that that's the backdrop, that he's going to intentionally walk himself into a corner, paint himself into a corner and say, yep, because we can't understand God in essence, because he's infinite and we're finite. So here we go. V'chein tzarich she'ida, we also, tzarich, we must know, she'mitziyuto yitbarach shemo, and this is an important word, mitziyut pashut. How do we often translate pashut? Simple. We usually use it in a negative way, as somebody who's a simple person. Here, we recognize the godless of being pashut. God is pashut. What does pashut mean? So three layers of the many layers of the meaning Pashut is that he's abstract, that he's transcendental. Mufshat means transcendental. He's beyond. Two is simple, but simple in what way? Undifferentiated. He's one. There, God cannot be broken up into parts. Why can't God be broken up into parts? You know the answer to this? Because that creates limits. So Pashut here means undifferentiated. He cannot be broken into parts. He is pure unity. And those are all different layers of the word Pashut here. He's transcendental, beyond the world, simple in the sense that he's undifferentiated. And as he explains here, the Ramchal explains here, Bli har kava, he's not contained by anything. Nothing can limit him. Nothing can hold him. Bli har kava v'riboy, and there is no multiplicity within him. Because if there were multiple things within him, those would be borders and boundaries and definitions within the context of God. V'chol hashlimuyot kulam. Here's where it gets a little wonky. Because it's God, and we can't understand him. V'chol hashlimuyot kulam. All levels of perfection. Nimsa'im bo b'derech pashut. All aspects of perfection exist within God, but as one. Hear that sentence again. All different aspects of perfection exist within God, but as one. What does that mean? I don't know. Watch Ramchal say the same thing. As he says, Pirush, Ki hinei, ba nefesh, in human being's soul, Imatsu kochot rabim. We have many different capacities. Mimsu kochot rabim shoni. Many different capacities. Shekol echad mehem gdero bifnei atzmo. That each one has its own borders and boundaries. For example, derech mashal. Hazikaron koach achad. Memory is one koach, is one capacity. Veratzon koach acher, and desire is another capacity. Vehadimyon koach acher, and our imagination is another capacity. And each one of these doesn't enter into the other one. We have memory, we have will, we have imagination. They're all independent within us. They all exist within us, but they exist within us independently. They don't bleed into each other. Kine, geder azikaron, the borders of memory. Gader echad, it has its own borders, boundaries, definitions, limitations. The geder haratzon, gader acher, and desire has its own borders, boundaries, limitations. The ein haratzon nichnas begeder azikaron, and desire doesn't enter into the borders and boundaries of memory. Velo azikaron begeder haratzon, and memory doesn't enter into desire. The chen kulam, and so too by all capacities within us. Acha adoni barach shemo, but God. Enenu baal kochot shonim. He is not one of many different capacities. There's no multiplicity within God. He doesn't have many capacities. Afal pi shebe'emet, even though that in truth, yesh bo inyanim shebanu hem shonim. That he has within him things that in us are different, but in him aren't differentiated. In us, they're differentiated. In us, they're different things. He has all of those things, but in him, they're not differentiated. In him, they're all one. Ki hare hu rotzeh, because he wills. V'hu chacham, and he has wisdom. V'hu yachol, and he is capable. V'hu shalem, b'chol minei b'chol shlemut. And he is perfect on every level of perfection. Omnam amitat mitziyuto, but the essence, again, we can't know God in essence, but in essence, hu inyan echad, he is pure unity and oneness. Shekolel ba'amitato, that he contains within him, ugdero, that he contains within him, what did we just make a mistake and do by saying contains within him? Right, and so watch the parentheses. Pirush amitati no. In essence, ki ein shayach gadir bo yiparach el al tzad heter lashon. We're only saying the word within him based on our limited finite words because it's impossible to describe God with finite words as finite beings because he's infinite. Even the Ramchal here now is jumping back and forth because we're trying to use finite words and our finite capacity to try to explain and understand God, and you can't do that. Komash hu shlemut. He can, quote unquote, contains within him, so to speak, all aspects of perfection. He has all aspects of perfection within him. Not as things that are in addition to his essence and the truth of him. But rather as part of his essence itself. God doesn't have all aspects of perfection. All aspects of perfection are part of God as one thing. Shekolelet ba'amita kol ha-shlemiyut. He contains within him all aspects of shlemut. She'efshar le'inyan ha-hu mi'bilti kol ha-shlemiyut, because God, as God, wouldn't be God without having all aspects of perfection. Mitzad atzmo is an essential part of who he is. If you're confused, then the next paragraph is for you. V'ine, says the Ramchal, be'emet, in truth, haderech hazeh rachok me'od me'asakatenu. This is something which is very, very far from our understanding, v'tzirenu, and our ability to imagine. Try to keep an eye on the time. It's very far from our grasp and from our imagination. V'kimat she'ein lanu derech leva'aro milot lefarsho. And basically we don't have any way to explain it. In any words, we can't put those things into words. You can't take an infinite God and use finite words to describe him. Ki'ein si'ureinu v'dimyonenu tofeis ela inanim mugbalim b'gvul hateva. Hear how everything we talked about is now being put into this sentence, and it's just saying it out in a different way. Because our intellect and our imagination can't grasp, is not able to be toface. Can only grasp those things which are limited by the boundaries of nature that God created. Because that's what our senses experience and bring to our minds. We can only understand that we can experience. Whatever that which we experience is all finite and limited in the physical world, and even in the spiritual world for that matter. And so therefore, we have no, that's all that we can contain. And in reality, all of the things that we're talking about, Zikaron, Chochma, Shlemut, in the world as we experience it, those things are different. So by attributing those to God, we can make the mistake of saying, yes, God is those things, but if we think that He is those things in the way that we experience them, that's Kfira. Because they exist within Him, somehow, in a way that we don't have the capacity to understand, as part of His essence, and in an undifferentiated way, as one. Ulam, kvar ikdamnu sh'amitat metziuto. We've already prefaced by saying that the truth of His essence, Yitbarach Shemo, eino museget. You can't grasp God in essence. V'ein lahakish, it's very dangerous, we should never do this. We can't make any connections. Mimash shiro'im babru'im, ala borei Yitbarach Shemo. To learn, to make any connections, or hashva'ot, between what we see in the world and God. Nothing in the world mirrors God, because He is infinite and everything in creation is finite. Because the essence of a created thing and the essence of God are not comparable in any way, shape, or form. That we can learn out from one about the other. But this is also known to us through Kabbalah, as we said before. Umi'utim b'chakiran can be verified through investigation, al pi hateva atzmo, through investigation of the physical world, of nature, b'chukotav u'mishpatav, she'ief shar al kol panim. He's going to now phrase a really long sentence in the negative. I'm just going to say it in the positive. He says it's impossible that there can't be a being that. So I'm going to say, there must be a being who is. I'm just going to change it from the negative to the positive. There must be a being who is a matzoy echad, he's singular, umishalal mikol ateva, who is unbound by all of nature, chukotav ugvulav, its structures and its borders, mikol he'ader v'chisaron, who's totally unbound from any lack of existence and any lacking within itself, mikol riboy v'harkava, who is totally distant from any multiplicity, something which can't be contained, something which can't be contained. Mikol yachas va'erech u'mikol mikrei bruim, who's totally cut off from every, meaning from creation, in the sense that is not limited or bound by creation. V'sheyehu asibah amitit, and that there must be a being who is the true source. L'chol hanim sa'ot u'l'chol amitialed bam. Who's the true source of all of reality and everything that occurs within it. Kizulat zeh, because without such a being, mitziut hanimtzaot she'an ro'im, everything that we see, the hatmaratam and their continued existence, hayabal tiyaf shari, would be impossible. Vav. Last if. Umimash atzarik she'yada'ot, and the last thing we need to know is, sh'amatzoy hazeh yiparach shemo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu muchrach sheyeh echad velo yoter. He must be one. There is only one God. Perush, meaning, she'yefshar she'yimatzu mitzuyim rabim she'mitziyutam muchrach mi'atzmo. That you can't possibly have multiple things which are intrinsically imperative. Ele echad bilvad tzarich she'yimatzeh b'mitziyutam muchrach v'ashalem hazeh. This being that is intrinsically imperative can only be one. This perfect being can only be one. And if you find other things that seem to be intrinsically imperative, that seem to be encompassing all perfection, it's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them. And those things must be dependent on Him. It means you found something that's not Him and underneath Him, and that is dependent upon God, who is the ultimate source of all things. And they don't exist on their own. Nimsa, therefore, let's summarize everything. He summarizes the six klalim that we can know about God here in the last paragraph. To summarize, Nimsa, klal yidiot hasharshiot ha'ilashesh. There are six primary things, source things that we need to understand about God. V'hein, one, amitat mitziuto yibarach shemo, that God is. Two, shlemuto, that all levels of perfection exist within God in an undifferentiated way. Hechrach himatzo, that He is intrinsically imperative, He must exist, there's no option of God not existing, He must exist. Five, heyuto bilti nitle bezulato, He is not dependent upon anything else. He's completely independent, pshituto. He's completely transcendental and undifferentiated, v'yichudo, and he is the only one. There is no other God. That is everything we can and cannot know about God. If you have questions, I'm sorry that we ran out of time. I have to go to Mincha. After Mincha, feel free to please ask. For those who enjoyed, I hope that you did enjoy this year. If you don't come back, I hope you enjoyed what you got. And if you want to come back, not at 12:15, give you some time for lunch. We'll be starting at 12:30 every Thursday and continuing to much more slowly go through the rest of Chelek Aleph of Ramchal's Derech Hashem, which is the foundations of all reality, which I would say kedai to know. So I hope to see you again after Sukkot in a couple of weeks. Derech HaTimato, everybody.